This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 CUNA GAC in Washington, D.C. And look who we have here in our studio lounge. A couple of fine folks here in the credit union industry.
Hello. Ms.
Samantha Paxson from Co-op Solutions. Right here.
Right here.
The name's Solutions. Right behind me. How are you?
I'm amazing. It's good. So good to see you.
Good to see you as well, as always. And then Mr. Omar Jordan from Covyance.
Covyance, yes.
How are you?
Lender Close. Doing great. I mean, with Samantha Paxson.
Yep.
And Mike, come on, it doesn't get any better.
We're here. I mean, and as technology goes, here we go. Yeah. I just pressed a button and the whole thing went craziness. So anyway, I'm going to go back to my little 3x5 note cards one of these days. Anyway, hey, we're talking today about trends in lending and in payments, obviously. So you guys, both of you, are very well versed in this area. So first question is, we've all experienced the benefits of a low rate environment for years. We've been spoiled
for a
decade now, yeah. It seems like. So now that rates have climbed a bit and will remain elevated throughout 2023, obviously. So what impact does this have on consumer lending, and will home equity remain an attractive way to access funds for credit union members? So Samantha, I'm going to let you go first on this one.
Okay. Well, it's such a pleasure to be here, Mike. And so such a pleasure to be with Omar. I serve on the Covyance board, mm-hmm. and it's been wonderful to see their growth and the amazing rebrand to Covyance.
Yeah.
So it's
amazing growth.
It's been fun to see the evolution of that company, mm-hmm. and this amazing company over the last 3 years. And I think it's really important in relationship to that question. What our credit unions are facing right now is a volume crisis.
Okay.
When we have when we have all these low rates, it was very easy to lean on lending, mm-hmm. and to know that consumers are going to come in, members are going to come in and want to take loans.
Mm-hmm.
Now in this raising rate environment, it's very difficult to get the volume.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so credit unions kind of have to look at their entire solution set and focus on convenience and speed. And that's the benefit of an organization like Covyance, where you're able to kind of shift to more home equity, mm-hmm. and to make sure that credit unions can capture every bit of volume as possible.
Yeah.
On the payment side, it's really important because there is a relationship between payments and lending.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get the everyday transactions of the member and mm-hmm. make sure that we have volume there, it then leads to the big ticket loan volume that credit unions expect.
Right.
So
right.
I'm a big believer in balancing our interest income and non-interest income and making sure that we're capturing the attention of the member and capturing every interaction, mm-hmm. through payments,
mm-hmm.
so that we can make sure that then it then moves to lending.
Right. Which goes right to you, Omar. You want to add a little bit to that question as well?
Well, I think I'll compliment Samantha back on being part of the rebrand, first and foremost, and having a strong board certainly helps us move the company strategically forward. She's always pressing me to think much bigger strategy than think more activities. So appreciate that partnership. As far as what we're seeing today is we're seeing a growth in home equity lending about 40% year over year. However, to Samantha's point, the credit unions are being tested on their go-to-market strategies today. So we are seeing 40% home equity year-over-year growth, however, not in the credit union industry. That's slower than what banks and fintechs are aggressively targeting the market. So the challenge becomes, for me, the way we see it is, the credit union total addressable market, their TAM, is being targeted by fintechs, targeting by banks that are now entering this new era of home equity lending. And that's the opportunity that we're missing out on if we're not really focused on expanding the product offer to the members and the potential total addressable market. So there's a huge opportunity that we're not maximizing. And I think it's time for us, as Samantha said, look within and think strategically for where are we 10 years from now? And I think that's a lot of the challenge that we're running into.
Yeah, no doubt. And let's talk about credit card debt, as that's going up as inflation goes up as well. So what does this mean for members and credit unions? Omar, I'll stick with you on this one, and then there's another part to this question.
Remind me, credit. Interest rates and credit card debt ceiling that's probably larger than we had in 2005. And if history repeats itself, you're going to start to see a lot more consolidation starts to happen. Okay, so do we watch fintechs, credit unions, or fintechs, banks take advantage of that consolidation program? Or do we, credit unions, take over that concept and really serve the underserved, serve the members that really need our help? And I think the one thing we learned is that only 4% of credit union members have a real estate loan with their credit union. So the product
offer. What's that
number again? 4% of credit union members have a real estate loan with their credit unions. So where are they going? Big box banks, Wells Fargo's, fintechs are dominating the market. And so we are definitely going to see a huge consolidation effort in terms of home equity lending. Where is that going? Is it with your credit union or with someone else?
I'm floored by that number. I'm still like thinking about 4%. Are you kidding me?
We're not capturing member attention. I think it's great that you brought up fintechs. Yeah. Fintechs are the most trusted type of financial services in the market today because they're demonstrating the capability.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The way that we define trust in the space today is not just your character. Will you do the right thing for me? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. can you give me what I need mm-hmm. in terms of my mm-hmm. financial services?
Yeah, convenience.
And so it is absolutely defined by convenience. And we're seeing, you just brought up credit card debt, we're seeing debit volume drop, credit card volume increase.
Mm-hmm.
Because members are still spending, but they're not having the same liquidity.
Right.
So this is where Omar's saying, where are they going for that liquidity? They're going to credit cards. They're going to other providers that they trust and believe can mm-hmm. give them what they mm-hmm. need. We need to make sure that credit unions are showing up in the ways that members expect them to.
Which entails financial wellness. And so how do credit unions promote this financial wellness in their, or contribute to financial wellness in their communities, Samantha?
Well, financial wellness, we define it so much in our industry as literacy, as a class, as education. That the industry has the opportunity to really look at member behavior. I think we need to focus on data and look at payments data. Co-op processes 8 billion transactions a year.
Is that all?
That's it. That's a lot of data. That's a lot of information.
Tremendous.
And when you can analyze that information and really understand how is the member behaving,
mm-hmm.
and when you're able to look at giving them tools like bill simplification and have them... I'm obviously choked up about this. Have them understand.
You need some water.
Have them understand their financial position mm-hmm. and then be able to take action. Mm-hmm. If they need to take out a home equity line of credit, if they need to switch their credit card volume to debit, if they need other types of tools that help them have access to liquidity, to capital, it puts them in a better financial position.
Yeah.
And this gives credit unions an opportunity to really live their mission, to demonstrate their value proposition,
completely.
To build on that trust that is so needed today.
Yeah, no doubt. Well said. Hey, Omar, with the speed and ease of transactions at the forefront of consumer experience, how can credit unions serve members and remain competitive? And I think you can chime on this too as well, Samantha.
Well, I've said this before many times. Interest rates, loan fees, credit card fees are all commodity. Everybody has better fees than a credit union or bank next door. Member experience, borrower experience, that's what defines winners from losers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why fintechs win over credit unions and community banks in most cases, because they're able to deliver on that promise.
Yep.
And we're still trying to figure out, we as an industry haven't really understood the definition of member experience today versus member experience in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changed. And who decided it? The consumer decides what member experience
you're
is.
Right. Yeah.
So lending at the speed of the borrower becomes the center stage for what that member experience is.
That is, the large big tech companies have really defined what service means. And it is all about bringing ecosystems of value. I mean, when you look at Amazon, Google, their Apple, their ecosystems. And what they're doing is they're bundling solutions in a way that is centered around the consumer. Mm-hmm. So Omar is absolutely true. What he said is that the consumer is setting the pace. And they expect an experience that is personalized, that is dedicated to them. They don't care what the operating model is of the credit union. They expect that the credit union will anticipate their needs and deliver them in a way that is as seamless as they experience it through Amazon. Mm-hmm. So that's where how credit unions, they need to think of themselves as technology companies.
Oh, completely.
We are technology companies that, and that's why it's so great to partner with organizations like Covance, like Co-op, because it's faster than having to build everything yourself.
Right. And those other companies, they've done it in such a short time, whereas credit unions have been around for quite a while now. You know, these fintechs are, whatever term you want to use for these companies out there, they've done it in such a short amount of time, and they've developed this trust that you talked about really quickly. So and that leads me to the importance of partnerships, like what you just alluded to, Samantha. So how important are partnerships to credit unions these days? Because you just said it allows credit unions to focus on what they do best, and then the company comes in and lets them do what they do best.
So much, credit unions need to do all of this really well, so much of this are questions about, do we build buyer partner? Every company has those sets of questions. So it comes down to speed. Why build it when you can buy it and integrate it? And that's why organizations like Co-op, we really focus on flexibility with integration and with data. Mm-hmm. That has to be the forward focus of all organizations these days. Yeah. I think for the credit union, it depends on how fast they want to go, and that's when you make choices to partner with organizations.
You need to go fast,
right?
Today,
right?
For sure.
I think Brian Lauer said it to me best once. It is credit unions, and Samantha just touched on it, must think of themselves as technology forward institutions and focus on a technology aspect of it, but they're not in the business of building such technology. You rarely see a credit union with a team of product talent or mass development talent as fintechs have, or even a CTO, right? But we are seeing some of them put some interest on or emphasis on the fintech concept. And so finding a non-competing fintech that is focused on adding value to the credit union, whether it's growth and or efficiencies, and that's the right way to approach it. And then aggressively partnering with them, whether it's investing, lending to them, and just deploying that technology across the organization and being a champion for it. So Samantha's right; it's all about speed.
Yeah.
And speed is or time, as we all say, is the most expensive commodity out there. And so if you're not there a week from now or 6 months from now, fintechs are, and
somebody else will be.
So you don't have the time. The other thing I'll add is I've been in this industry for probably 6-7 years, maybe even longer with as far as credit unions go, and I noticed one theme, and that the credit union will move as fast as a CEO will move. And so if you are a CEO at a credit union, make decisions, drive the strategy, focus on the members, and that's what wins at the end of the day, your member experience.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Let's switch gears just a little bit here to embedded financial services. So banking as a service is a trending topic, as we all know today. So how can credit unions stay relevant and capture new partnership opportunities with embedded financial services? Omar, I'll stick with you on this one.
Back to fintechs. Banking as a service, again, that's a misdefined term. So getting that right is important, once and foremost. But again, just investing in the fintechs, understanding the playground out there, and getting serious about what is it that you're trying to deliver to your members today, what your vision is 5 years from now, and then what does that look like post-retirement for you as an executive at this credit union? Where do you want to leave this organization?
Do we
continue to scale or not?
And embedded finance and banking as a service is really about centering, designing yourself around the member.
Yep.
So this goes back to this idea that the big banks who are winning are using this ecosystem of value strategy. So it's exactly what Omar said. They're looking at the use cases based on the personas that they're serving. So you have to deeply understand the member, and then package, instead of being product centric, where you have these siloed solutions that you're expecting the member to come into your branch and buy those solutions, you put them together based on what the member is trying to do.
Yep.
So a lot of these things, credit unions already have. It's how they deliver them in a digital fashion and put them together based on understanding the member needs, and that comes back to data
and
digital delivery.
Yeah.
So it's a new way of thinking about a lot of the things that you have and delivering them in a digital fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions know that they can do this because they did it in the pandemic.
Yes,
we are needing to win members' trust interaction by interaction. Mm-hmm. I call it preferred financial interaction. We went from preferred financial institution to preferred financial relationship. Now we are looking to win the member's business moment by moment by moment.
Oh yeah, you're only as good as your last transaction, basically.
Absolutely. So the consumer expects perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exactly what Omar said, is that the leadership teams at credit unions need to deeply understand the way their solution sets fit together and are designed around the member.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes back to what we're founded on, which is member centricity.
Yeah.
When I joined the credit union movement 17 years ago, when I would ask credit unions what makes you special, they said service.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does service look like today? And it's exactly what Omar was saying. It's about speed, it's about the experience, it's about personalization.
Mm-hmm.
And having my credit union know me and give me the solution sets that are going to help me reach my short-term financial goals and my long-term financial goals.
Yeah, and they're getting that perfection in other retail outlets.
Exactly.
And they expect it at your credit union as well. So
it,
a lot to live up to, for
they
sure.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And we can do it. I always say, I don't want to scare credit unions. We can do this.
Oh, completely.
So we just have to lean into it, like Omar was saying.
Yep, indeed. All right, last question, and I'll let you guys off the hot seat here.
Okay.
All right, payment strategies, which is what both you guys know very, very well, continue to play a significant role for credit unions, yes. So what new payment options should be on the radar for credit unions to serve members and their small business owners? Omar, do you want to go first on this one?
Well, I think you...
Or so Samantha, you want to go?
The first part of the question is payment strategy is a hot topic for credit unions, and yes. However, I'd like to argue that credit unions are not necessarily focused on what the definition of that is, and what the member experience means as it relates to that. And you've been touching on that for quite a bit.
I have. So many credit unions have a kind of set it and forget it strategy when it comes to payments.
Yeah.
They look at it. They focus on debit. That credit cards are kind of a dirty word or a dirty phrase in the credit union space, but consumers need access to capital and
especially right now.
Up, so why not be the white knight with the hand at our members' backs, helping them make good choices?
Mm-hmm.
So it comes back to digital payments. 69%, actually it's up to 89% of consumers in the last 3 years that we've done our research.
Mm-hmm.
They're using digital payments. They're very comfortable using digital payments. They expect digital account opening. They expect to be able to use their phone to pay for transactions. They expect to be able to. They expect contactless payments. They expect buy now, pay later. They expect the fraud experience to be seamless.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're able to capture those interactions, guess what? You capture the loan.
Yep.
So that 4%. Target that Omar said that is not good enough. That's
something
it's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
We can capture that market share, and so it is really important that we focus on payments and its connection to lending, because they are absolutely connected. The member is not thinking about product centricity; they're thinking about themselves and the jobs that they need to get done in their financial life. So.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions need to offer these solution sets, package them in a way that will be as seamless as possible for the member. And when they do, they'll win the interaction.
Yeah, no doubt. And I keep going back to your talk that you did in 2020 at the Underground Collision. How many times you use your payments, your mobile, basically, on the way from
GAC.
LA to GAC, it just painted such a clear picture. And if any of those didn't work properly, oh my gosh.
Then I wouldn't be using it.
Exactly.
So
that's what we have to live up to.
An opportunity for credit unions, and that's why I call it the opportunity gap. This is what members expect. This is how credit unions are behaving. We can close that opportunity gap if all we do as credit unions is focus on the member and getting them utilizing the credit union.
Yep, no doubt.
Well,
no doubt.
Real world example, I talked to a credit union in North Carolina, without saying their name. They did $70 million in home equity lines of credit in the last 90 days. 70 million in the last 90 days. You know how many members actually utilized their line of credit? Less than 5%. So we're lending, but members aren't leveraging that. Why? When the member is at Home Depot, when they're at Lowe's, when they're at Menards or whatever they shop for home improvements product, they don't have the ability to move money from the home equity line of credit into their online payment or mobile payment. The fintech on the other side has those capabilities, and so members who are able to take home equity loans from that specific fintech, like Samantha said, they're at the cash register, Home Depot, use their phone or credit card, and then they're leveraging their home equity line of credit. And so it's such a simple concept, but yet why are we taking so long to move this forward? So partnering with fintechs. Partnering with fintechs does that. Partnering with co-op, partnering with co-finance does all of that. So I think that's what I want to drive forward. Again, going back to my point, a credit union moves as fast as the organization's leadership will move it. And so if you are a credit union CEO or executive, move that forward, make that initiative, decide what the strategy is, and let's get going.
Yeah, make it a priority.
Activate, as Samantha Paxton says.
Activate. It's like a superhero or something like that.
Stop.
Any final thoughts on this? I mean, this is a stuff we can talk about for a long time.
We could talk about it for a long time.
Yes.
It comes back to focusing on the member. Yeah. I mean, I would say the credit union moves as fast as the leadership team. The credit union should move as fast as the member. And if you understand your member, you'll be able to make the right choices. And the credit unions can do it.
Yeah, I've already talked to a number of people, and just in the day and a half we've been here, or less than that, about kind of reverse engineering it, you know, seeing what the member needs and then re-engineer it, reverse engineer
the funnel.
Yeah.
I mean, I just spoke at this about this at Q's, that the typical funnel, marketing funnel, or the way that we bring new members into the credit union is that we sell them with a product, like a loan.
Yeah.
We need to reverse that. We need to sell them based on interaction, or engage with them based on interactions, like payment activities, like the daily types of transactions. If we can capture them there, we're going to move them into big ticket types of solutions in the credit union. Yeah. And Elmar just brought up an excellent example of that. So this is something credit unions can do. It's shifting their mindset. It's shifting their thinking about their growth strategy.
This is a have to, you know?
Yes.
It's not a luxury anymore. It's a have to.
It is a have to, absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for your time and your expertise and just your smiling faces as well. So I always appreciate you guys coming in and sharing your expertise. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Okay.
Thank you very much. There
they are.
Thanks, Dynamic duo. Well done.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.